hustle.
It is time for Talkin' Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J. This year marks the 25th anniversary of KVNF's blues show, Blues and Other Colors. Joining me today for a special edition of Talkin' Music are the show's hosts, Todd and Cynthia Hines. For Todd and Cynthia, the blues run deep. The blues is more than just music. It is a part of the cultural landscape of this country, and in many ways, the landscape of their own lives. Here's Todd.
Blues music is historically and culturally embedded. Blues music is very unique, and what we've said about it recently is that blues music represents the human response to slavery, and we've described the middle passage of the slave trade where the music was there instantly, and it was music of despair, and that was the blues, and it was the music of deliverance, of hope, and that was gospel music. And they're just intertwined immediately. They intertwined on the slave ships. And that's what blues music is all about, and that's part of what makes it very, very important. But we realized when we came here that there was no African-American population to speak of. I don't know if we'd even make 1%. So we understood that people may not have any idea what we're talking about. They didn't know the music, and they didn't know the artists, and we felt strongly about trying to do something about that. So when we started, we would broadcast in what I would say was a fairly primitive way, in that we would say, we're going to play the blues, and this is Can't Get No Satisfaction, and it's done by Muddy Waters. And we would play it, and then we would come up and we would say that was Muddy Waters, and the song was called this. And we would do that over and over again, trying to teach people who the artists were and what the music sounded like. And it was very gratifying. People really responded.
One thing I would add to that, though, is there are also a lot of very savvy musical people, listeners, who listen to KBNF. So one of the things that was really wonderful about it is those savvy people who knew things would call us and tell us. And they taught us, too. Howard Berkman, oh my God, walks into the studio and says, who the hell do you think you are? And why do you think you know anything about blues? And we were like, well, who the hell are you? And why do you think you know anything about blues? And when he told us, we were like, oh, yes, you do know about blues. And we were friends immediately. It's also a two-way street. You know, we've learned a lot, too.
It makes me wonder how your relationship has developed in all of these years of doing a show together. Because I imagine at times that can be challenging as you talk about sharing the space. You know, musical preferences may differ, opinions may differ. Talk to me a little bit about how your relationship has been informed by doing a show together as a couple.
Todd has been a devotee and scholar of blues for a very, very long time, and I have not. And my musical background was more classical than it was blues. But when I look back now, the things that I loved, like Deep Purple or Led Zeppelin, it was all the blues-based stuff. So I didn't know very much in the beginning, so I kind of did Other Colors for a long time.
Todd was blues and you were Other Colors?
Pretty much. And I don't know exactly when that changed, but doing that all-night show under cover of darkness, you could peruse the shelves in the music library. So I went to blues and just started looking for women, and because they were underrepresented. And that's kind of how I started gaining my own knowledge, was seeking, okay, there got to be some girlfriends out here that are worth listening to and knowing about.
You know, I think one of the keys to the success of what we've done with KVNF and Blues and Other Colors is authenticity. And I kind of alluded to that earlier. And so one of the things that happened was that we would just talk to each other. We became kind of oblivious of the fact that we were on the radio, and it was like sitting in our kitchen. And, you know, we had a young woman say to us once, I like your music, but I love it when you talk. And, you know, that's kind of a wonderful compliment, because, you know, we didn't have an agenda. We just talked to each other, and we just let it develop. And our relationship is very close, and it always has been. So, you know, I think we can tolerate discord. And one of the things is we listen to each other very carefully. And that comes through on the radio, but it's true here in our kitchen or anywhere. We listen to each other very carefully. We respect each other, and we're willing to make changes because we have that kind of respect for our partner. So, you know, as she said, I'm one of those guys, given my age, who was deeply affected by Clear Channel Radio. Most of you are not old enough to remember, but radio disappeared at 10 o'clock at night, or at least by midnight. And on came what were called the Clear Channel stations. Would have been mid to late 50s. So the Clear Channel stations at midnight took over the country. And I mean, they were boomers, just huge. And they broadcast really from coast to coast. So when you were a kid at that point, you know, 12 or 13 or 14, where that music is really part of adolescence and starting to be really important. And transistor radios were brand new. So you could put a transistor radio under your pillow and listen all night to the music. And the station I listened to that millions of people listened to was WLAC out of Nashville, Tennessee. The first record I ever bought was a blues record that I ordered from Randy's Record Shop that I heard from Nashville, Tennessee. It was Little Willie John. It was called All Around. The song actually changed names. It was called All Around the World. And it changed name to one of the lyrics, which was, if I don't love you, baby, grits ain't groceries and chicks ain't poultry and Mona Lisa was a man. And that was the song. And, you know, I had to have that. And I sent this money off to Nashville, Tennessee, and they sent me back a 45 record. The stuff was all 45 at that point. And And that was my first record. That was my first blues. So I just went on listening to the blues all night, and I sure wasn't alone. There were millions of us listening to the blues all night. WLAC, Nashville, Tennessee. With a switch, of course, you know I love you, baby. Yes, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultries, and Mona Lisa was a man. That was the roots for me, and they taught me a lot. They taught a lot of us a lot, and they taught us about the blues, and they taught us about the black community. You just cannot divorce the black community from blues music. In New Orleans, there was this thing called Congo Square. The slave traders made a mistake, but it came about because the King of France decided that all the slaves were French. And all the slaves were therefore Catholic. And if that was true, then they couldn't work on Sunday. And that created this thing called Congo Square, where on Sunday, the slave owners allowed the slaves to all come together. And they kept Africa alive that way. They kept the music alive, the food alive, the culture, all of that. So much of our culture is born out of African roots, and all because of Congo Square and because the slaves were mistakenly allowed to congregate. And of course, what that finally led to was it scared them. It scared the white people because they knew there was going to be a rebellion if that kept on. And they ultimately outlawed drums and musical instruments. When they outlawed the drums and the musical instruments, where did they go? They went to North Mississippi. It became the North Mississippi Hill Country Blues. And it's a whole different kind of blues because it's based in all those drums and all those fifes and flutes, if you will, reed flutes that they were able to make. And so that became a musical genre of its own. And so to this day, you know, that genre exists. When you listen to somebody like Cedric Burnside, he's playing hill country blues. And
the reason why that still matters, now, I mean, that can kind of sound like ancient history, but because slavery doesn't exist, but discrimination still does. And that is very clearly evident. I mean, in 2024, the world is aghast because Beyoncé, a black woman, has a country hit. There are constraints and limitations that still apply. And it's much of what ails our culture and society right now. That's why it still matters.
I'm really glad you bring that up. I think something that I admire about you guys is your willingness to not just play the blues in its original form, but to play up and coming young blues artists. And I'm curious if you'll talk about that decision a little bit to celebrate the new voices in the blues world.
Cynthia is particularly good at that. I would have to admit, as a DJ, I love dead guys. Just if we want to characterize what happens and how we work back and forth, the people that I play tend to be dead. Because it tends to be classic blues, there's a thread there, and it goes from one classic set of blues to the other. Cynthia has a real ear for new stuff and new people, and she hears it and she plays it, and that really makes our show much richer. But I think you could characterize us that way, that she's the one who sees and hears and understands the new stuff and how the blues is evolving. And I'm more the old guy stuck in the past. And when you put it all together, it's what the blues is all about and how it sounds and the way it needs to be.
But one of the things I love, thinking about Grits and Groceries, that song is, people are recording it now in a totally different way. So you get somebody like Shamika Copeland or Samantha Fish, and I'm very interested in the women, you know, Susan Tedeschi. She's brilliant. These are brilliant women. Carolyn Wonderland played with John Mayall for his last tours. So I love the reinterpretation of it. And I had a guy I worked for said, there's no original thought left in the world. And maybe that's true, but the pre-existing thoughts get reimagined and recreated into something new and different. And I love that. It's so interesting to see where somebody's going with that.
We've talked recently in the informational segments that we've been doing that there were women of color who were women of courage. You know, Ma Rainey as an example, but Bessie Smith and many others who stepped forward and what they did was authentic. They talked about their lives. They talked about who they were. They sang about who they were. That had never happened before. One of the things that you have to understand with some historical perspective is there's a lot of change here related to race, related to black-white issues. And you think about the fact, and we did a segment on the minstrel shows. The minstrel shows were white folks in blackface. You couldn't be in the audience. You couldn't perform. You couldn't be anywhere nearby if you were black. So it was white people pretending that they were black. And people like Ma Rainey changed that because she was a black woman and she forced her way to the front and she had the courage to do it. And it's changed things. And women have played a really important role. The blues was totally male dominated. There was no question about that. And these women forced their way in and made the blues so much richer than it was when it was just men. We've talked recently about Mamie Smith. Mamie Smith was one of those women of color who had so much courage. She had so much guts. But it's hard, I think, even to understand how deep the segregation was. And Mamie Smith broke that open. And she recorded a song called Crazy Blues. And it changed everything. After she recorded that song, then even men blues singers could be recorded. Suddenly, African-American people could be recorded. And blues music has that kind of history that's really important in our culture.
I want to talk about the informational segments. You mentioned you've always been a teacher. I know that you've made a point to really educate and inform, starting back from when you were just talking about the song and the name of the musician to familiarize our listeners. Yeah. How do you go about picking the topics that you focus on for those informational segments?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I think it's really important to if you want to talk about that part of the show, to understand that for medical reasons, I've lost my mobility and I can't walk. I mean, that's a simple way to say it. I can't walk, so I can't really go anywhere. And that was going to eliminate me from the show. You know, how were we going to do that? And Cynthia invented out of nowhere this segment that she called Todd at Two. So she invented this. We do Todd at Two because it came out of her head. She's a very bright woman and very creative. So Todd at Two actually started with a segment on woke because woke had become very hot politically, even hotter than it is now, much hotter than it is now, really. And we realized that woke was a musical term. Leadbelly invented that term, writing a song about the Scottsboro Boys. And, you know, I can tell you more than you ever wanted to know about too many things, but the Scottsboro Boys were a group of young black men who were, of course, falsely accused of rape and sent to prison, and all manner of terrible things happened. And Leadbelly wrote a song about them, and he said, if y'all travel down around that time, stay woke. And that's where the term came from, and he was talking about be aware, be sensitive, pay attention to what's happening to you. So be woke. And that's how the segment started. And we kind of follow a thread in determining what we're going to talk about the next Todd at Two. That decision usually happens in the kitchen somewhere. One of us will throw out an idea and then we'll kind of process that. And usually it's an idea that comes from what we just did. some kind of corollary artist or music or whatever it might be. And it's really, really fascinating to me how responsive people have been about that. You know, I think there's a thing about public radio to begin with, that you expect to be entertained and you also expect to learn something, to be informed. And so we've tried to follow that model in a sense and tell people things that we think might be important for them to know, you know.
In reflecting on the 25, almost 26, maybe 26 years of this show, what are your thoughts? Have you given it some thought? Just what it means to have contributed 25 years worth of music and information and education to our community?
You know, I've thought about it some, and we've talked about it some. I don't mean to sound noble when I say this, but it's not about us. It's about community radio, which is a very, very real thing. And it's about friends and neighbors coming together and sharing the music and enjoying the music. And I think the contribution is nurturing that. You know, it's so divisive politically at this point, but a lot of people talk about the fact that music brings us together. You know, that you may hate your neighbor's political views, but you might love the same music. I think that's the contribution. It's the contribution that community radio makes more than what Cynthia and Todd have done. I think what we've done is to open some doors. We've unleashed some things that were there that needed to be shared. But that's my thought over 25 years. It's been a real journey together with a lot of people. And I don't know how many friends, good friends, that we've never seen, that we've never met. And it's a fact. They're friends of ours and we're friends of theirs. And it's all happened on radio and it's all happened on community radio. And that's what I think the 25 years have been all about.
It's a privilege to be able to do this. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's a privilege. And it's rare. And it deserves to be protected. It needs to be protected and preserved. It's not outdated. It's as contemporary as ever, as relevant as ever. And, you know, Todd said it all. Really, I'm just deeply grateful for the relationships and the community that we get to share.
Music is important, and music brings us together. And our chance, I think, for peace and love is through music. And the commonality of music and what it does for all of us. And I take that as an important mission for us and for KVNF. And Leonard Cohen has a lyric that starts, "You don't care for music, do you?" And there are folks who don't. And I respect that and honor that. But for many of us, it's very, very important.
What do you hope the future of Blues and Other Colors is? What do you hope that looks like?
I just hope we get to continue to do this for a while longer. That's my hope.
When you get to be as old as I am, your perspective changes. And you become aware, if you're going to be honest with yourself, about your time horizon and what the future looks like. So my hope is, and my belief is, that we've established... Maybe long ago, we've established blues music at KVNF, and it will go on. And other folks will pick up that torch. Some people already have. When Muddy Waters was on his deathbed, literally, he was about to go, and he asked to see Buddy Guy. And Buddy Guy came to his deathbed, and Muddy said, "Don't let the blues die with me." That's very poignant and very powerful. Don't let the blues die with me. And I think that's part of our commitment, you know. We're not going to let the blues die. Blues is forever. And it will go on. And it'll go on past us. It's gone on past many, many people. And it's very, very important. It's important culturally, historically. And it's a wonderful experience. And the blues music will go on forever.
That's Todd and Cynthia Hines, hosts of KVNF's Blues and Other Colors, joining me today on Talkin' Music to celebrate 25 years of blues music on KVNF. Thanks so much for joining us for this special edition of Talkin' Music. I'm your host, Taya J. Thanks, as always, for listening.
My man, got a heart like a rock cast in the sea. My man, got a heart like a rock cast in the sea. My man, got a heart like a rock cast in the sea. I hate to see that evening sun go down. He done left me, yes, he has.